Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The latest Adrian Wojnarowski update relative to the Houston Rockets. Reporting with Zach Lowe. Houston's offering Clint Capella, Eric Gordon, and PJ Tucker individually to teams with space to absorb salary. Rockets are trying for the best available first rounder for any of those three, hoping to redirect that pick to Philly in pursuit of a Jimmy Butler sign and trade. So the message there is that, and as a follow-up to that, Woj retweets that and says with a comment, Philadelphia has been privately expressing confidence around the NBA that it can re-sign both Butler and Tobias Harris, but Houston remains on the case of selling Butler 76ers with a sign and trade scenario once free agency starts on Sunday. The message there, if that's what they're trying to do, get other teams involved, find picks to give Philadelphia, is if Philadelphia doesn't want Eric Gordon or PJ Tucker or their salaries, and they don't want Clint Capella because you've already got Joel Embiid as your five. There'd be some repetition there. This is not a day and age where teams are going with the Twin Towers anymore. Teams are going with much more perimeter-oriented type stuff. So
I'd love to know if Butler has told the Sixers his intentions, because he controls this situation.
He does. Yeah, who knows?
The sooner he tells the Sixers either he wants out or he's interested in the max deal they can offer him, the sooner the Rockets can move on to something else.
My guess is he hasn't, Rich, and here's why. That if he did, it would raise a bunch of red flags. You know, the Rockets aren't allowed to talk to Jimmy Butler right now. These are all things that are being conveyed through Adrian Wojnarowski. This is not Daryl Morey publicly saying, here's why we're doing these things. So if Jimmy Butler goes to the, I would imagine if you're anybody involved in this that wants this to happen, including Jimmy Butler, that you're laying low on, you're trying to lay low on the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would think. That's the latest. Yeah.
Sunday afternoon, the window, the
6
curtain
o'clock.
Goes up, right?
6 o'clock Eastern time.
Sean, I know we talked about this earlier, Sean, but I just cringe at the thought of Eric Gordon not being a Rocket.
Yeah,
I watch these other teams that have these spot up shooters, you know, that in the playoffs come up big, man, and are a big part of the team on the offensive end of the floor, and how vital that is when you got, whether Chris Paul's the guy or Harden's the guy with the rock in their hand, they're gonna garner attention, and to have that guy that is just dead eye dick in the corner that knocks it down. I mean, to me that I just cringe thinking that they're gonna possibly lose that guy.
He also brings a lot of value in terms of his willingness to do whatever it takes for this team to win. Eric Gordon came in this league with New Orleans. He was the man. I mean, Eric Gordon was a pretty high level player, and he's come to Houston and had to be, I don't know if the right word is subservient, but he's had to take a lesser role behind James Harden and Chris Paul. I think Eric Gordon's a special player.
Rich, that's a good point you make, man, because you think about if again, I believe that the one thing that the Rockets being interested at this point in time tells me is that the scheme is going to change. And if that is the case, then you talk about how talented Eric Gordon is, and he can be more than just a spot-up shooter, which he was before, obviously, as you're saying, when he came in the league. So you're talking about that guy could be a big-time part of a different scheme offensively for the Rockets. I love watching him play. I love him being a part of this team. I love the fact that even though it wasn't the best situation for him from a scheme standpoint, he still played hard and shot the ball well and wasn't a problem.
Yeah, he and Tucker are pros.
Yeah,
pros.
Yeah, I hate to see those guys on the block, man.
Well, what this says to me, if Gordon is truly being mentioned in deals and a deal that would bring Jimmy Butler in, is that the things that Tillman Fertitta has been saying about his willingness to go into the luxury tax, which is, I think, the thing that most people have been skeptical about because of how motivated they seem to get under the luxury tax at the trade deadline this year. And people need to realize the reason they want to get under this year is so they don't get hit with repeater tax in future years. But it says to me that if they're looking at trades for Jimmy Butler, which is going to be a very expensive third guy to have on this team, Eric Gordon extending him was an option that was out there. That would be a much less expensive option than doing a max deal with Jimmy Butler. And Eric Gordon, I'm not saying he's Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is longer. He's more athletic. He's a little bit younger. But Eric Gordon brings a lot of the things to the table that Jimmy Butler would be asked to do with this team, which is knock down open jumpers, go to the hole at the offensive end of the floor when the time calls for it, and defend. Jimmy Butler is probably he's definitely better at the defensive end, although I don't think Eric Gordon is a slouch defensively. And I think Eric Gordon is probably, I think they're different offensive players, but in terms of productivity, Butler's probably slightly higher, but Gordon is very good offensively.
Yeah.
But the bottom line, the big difference between the two is that Eric Gordon on an extension and Jimmy Butler on a max deal is going to be way more expensive. And I don't know if it makes the team necessarily better if you're breaking up the core of this team. So the one message that I come away with in all this is that Tillman Fertitta saying they're willing to go into the luxury tax for the right kind of deal, that if they truly are doing these things, trying to get Jimmy Butler, then he's being truthful about that. This is a deal, Jimmy Butler, that if they do it, is going to put them into luxury tax territory for the next few years. Like, the Butler and Paul and Harden deals are now long-term deals that are not going anywhere. And those three deals put you right up against, if not over, the salary cap, which means that the luxury tax is not far. You're filling out the rest of your roster with guys who get you near or over the luxury tax threshold.
Someone's putting his money where his mouth is.
If indeed they go through with these deals. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so Kevin Durant declined his option earlier today. And like Kawhi Leonard doing it earlier this week, I don't think it's a great surprise to anybody.
Not a big headline, no.
It doesn't mean that Golden State can't sign him. It doesn't mean that Toronto can't sign Kawhi Leonard. What it means is that Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard can now get max deals, big-time max deals, from both of their original teams, Golden State and Toronto. I think my big question, and we've hashed this out yesterday, Rich, but with you in here, Clint, now I'm definitely curious your opinion. The rumor mill is saying that the Golden State Warriors might give Kevin Durant a max deal, a full-on five-year, they can only give it to him, max deal, which would be $57 million more.
$221 million.
Yeah, instead of, the $150, $160 million that he'd get from another team on a four-year deal. And not only giving him that deal, but working with him to trade him to the team, reportedly, working with him to trade him to the team of his choice sometime a year from now. Why would Golden State do this?
I tell you, the only reason I can think of is because they feel guilty about the situation, whether they pressured him or allowed him, however you want to phrase it. Allowed him to get back on the floor and pop that Achilles tendon out. As I'm saying that, I'm going, there's no way in hell that any NBA franchise would feel that bad to make that kind of move and pay that kind of money for a guy that you're going to get zero value out of.
That's a lot of guilt.
It's a lot of guilt, right? So I mean, it's
tens
one of those
of
like,
millions in guilt.
I don't know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if they do that, don't they have to risk losing one of the other two free agents?
No, you can go over the cap to sign your own guy. I mean, they've got Larry Bird rights on Clay and on Kevin Durant and anybody else. If they're your own guy,
I read something where they were talking about possibly signing Durant and letting Green walk. Did I read that somewhere?
Down the road, they may let him walk. Green's on a contract right now.
Right.
He's not a free agent.
Okay, yeah. Got you. That would be my only I guess contention would be to let Green walk over this would be crazy. But if he's under contract, then it's got to be a guilt issue. Why else would you do it?
And Rick Bucher fueled the fire that you're fanning a little bit here, Clint, with earlier this week when he made the claim that Durant is, quote, really pissed off at the Warriors for the position they put him in, and that they may not have been entirely truthful with him about the risk he was taking the floor again in the finals. Woj has basically said that's not true.
Okay.
Right, Adrian Wojnarowski has responded with, there's no indication that they have been shunned by KD. I don't believe that's the case. So we really don't know what the feelings are between Durant and the Warriors right now over his re-injury in the finals.
Did you guys hear what Andre Iguodala had to say on the Breakfast Club?
I did.
About the injury he had last year in the playoffs?
Amazing.
Yeah, let's play this bit of audio here from Andre Iguodala on the Breakfast Club about his injury from last year, how it was publicly positioned by the team, and the position that put him in, because I think we can take that last year and at least draw some comparisons to Kevin Durant's situation.
Everyone's feeding stuff in our head, when KD coming back, when KD coming back.
And the fact that it's the finals.
So I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Last year happened to me. Mm-hmm. I missed the last three games of the Houston series. It goes to game seven. We barely get out of that series. And now they're looking at me like, when you coming back? And I had a fractured leg. And but it's being put out there like he got a bone bruise. I'm like, no, it's fractured. So I'm fighting with the team. I'm fighting with people. I'm fighting with the media. And then my teammates ask me every day, how you feeling? So with Kay, he getting it from everywhere too. Like, how you feeling? Not just from, you know, the team, but from family or from, people close to him. You know, this our moment. This our stage. You know,
right.
This don't last forever. And what they'd always say in sports, oh, he a tough guy. He played through injuries. You know, you're validated as an athlete if you win a championship or how tough you were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you sit out, it's like, he's not tough. Like, you think about it, the history of sports is all about people's perception of you, and they want to get their gratification through you for themselves, and that's just the way of sports, you know.
It's kind of y'all fault a little bit too, though.
It's true.
All right, so that was Andre Iguodala. What do we think of that? The team putting out there a listing of an injury that is significantly less severe than the actual injury. Do we think that happened with Kevin Durant? It was a calf strain. For the whole time he was out, it was a calf strain. And then he comes back, and in 15 minutes of being back, he's got a ruptured Achilles tendon.
You know, there's so much, Sean, in when you're talking about injury reports and things like that, there's so many games that are played with the team not wanting the other team to know. Whoever they're playing in the playoffs, they don't want you to know that Andre Iguodala had a fracture in his leg, because that tells you that he's for sure not playing that night. Or, so there's so many games that are played relative to injured lists and inactive lists and things like that in pro sports that it's hard to – it would be easy to pinpoint a time with a certain team where guys' injuries were maybe not totally disclosed, right? I remember one time I've got to believe this is what Iguodala had. I don't know. I don't remember the instance he's talking about, but I got hit low after I delivered a ball on my left knee, and it was a tibia plateau fracture is what it was medically called, referred to as, right? And so in my conversation with the doc, I'm like, man, what, fracture, does that require a cast and crutches? And he's like, no. He said, you are one degree, a tibia plateau fracture is one degree beyond a deep bone bruise. And so for all intents and purposes, you got a bone bruise. But, you know, legally, because this little crack is here, we've got to call it
a fracture.
And so I sat a week and played the next week, and it was swole up. If it had been an important game, I could have played. But it swelled up as big as a water. My left knee was just unbelievably big. It wasn't real painful, but it was just real big. And so it's one of those deals where that conversation could have been misconstrued into, well, you told me I had a bone bruise and I really had a fracture. So I don't know what Iguodala's talking about, but it would be easy to misunderstand
with
all the games that are played.
The timing of his comments is ripe for speculation about how they treated Durant.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll see. And there were reports that a lot of Durant's teammates were wondering, when's he going to come back? When's he going to come back? So you never know if they were hearing calf strain and Kevin Durant's kind of keeping a lid on things. It's a messy thing.
Well, for us, Sean, to sit around and go, well, everybody in the organization wasn't hoping that Durant, and we're going to do everything possible to get Durant back on the floor.
Yep.
I mean, come on, man. Now that he got hurt, in hindsight, it looks bad, but everybody wanted him on the floor.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.